Find your place tonight in John chapter 15, please. Good to be in the Lord's house. And some golden daybreak, he will come. Amen. And there's a crowd saying, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. But they're not continuing as they were. It's getting worse and worse, and Jesus is coming. If I wasn't saved, I believe I'd get in. I was praying today and thanking the Lord for letting me preach in perilous times and dark days we're living in. Never been a greater day to live for the Lord than today. And I hope, and I got a message, the Lord may let me preach before I leave, where Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy in Acts chapter number 20. And I intend to do that, amen, if we get that far this week. I may not get out of John 15. It's got bigger and bigger and bigger. I was praying this morning, and the Lord impressed upon me to get into John chapter number 15. And we're glad you're here. Appreciate the good report, the meeting you've had. And somebody said it got on last night. I'd have liked to have been here. Amen. Good to see Brother Frazier. Been in a meeting and a bunch of folks get saved. God's kicking around, stirring around a few places. We were up at Brother Massagill's in Kentucky, and Friday night, there's about 18 or 20 supposedly got saved. The glory of God fell in that place. So the Lord's still moving, and He's getting the church ready to leave this world. Amen. And I'm glad I'm a part of it. I want to read the chapter, and John chapter 15 has caused a lot of controversy. Preachers disagree about the interpretation of it. We know the inspiration of it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think a lot of folks take it out of context and they try to read things into it that possibly aren't in there. And you may not agree, some of you, with everything that I might look at in John 15. But I believe the Bible, and you can set me down after church and talk to me if you would. But I don't know how far we'll get tonight. But John chapter 15, I'm going to read the chapter. I was only going to read about 14 or 15 verses, but got to the room and tried to read it again and just feel like we ought to read it all. Amen. That's the best part of any sermon anyway, is reading of the Scripture. Now, some preachers won't agree with that, but best part of your sermon is what God said. Amen. But in John chapter 15, verse number 1, I will say thanks for praying for my wife. She had a little incident with her heart. It might be little to some people. It is very serious to us. Her heart ran away, atrial fibrillation, and back in January. And she got sick to her stomach and pain and jaw and all of that. Took her to the doctor, and her blood pressure was about 70. And heart rate was about 175. So they rushed us 911 just to the hospital. And she's still getting over that. I told her I wouldn't take my shirt off in front of her anymore. That's what made her heart run away when she... But she got over it, and she'll... Well, I don't take my shirt off anyway. I do take it off when I take a shower, amen. But about the only place I take it off. But I'm glad she's able to be here tonight, is what my point is. I'd hate to be doing what Brother Biddle's doing. Preachers going up and down the road without their wives, that's a difficult thing. It would be for me. I don't think I could do it. I know God, I'm not limiting the grace of God, but I'm glad she's with me tonight. Verse number 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine. I'm interested, if you'll notice in the reading, you have a vine, you have branches, and you have a fruit, and you have a husbandman that's taking care of that. And Jesus said, I'm the true vine. If He's the true vine, that implies to me, with my cornfield theology, that there must be some false vines. Would you agree with that? So I believe He is the true vine. Amen. And God talks about that in the book of Revelation, thrust in the sickle. The vine's ripe, the fruit's ripe, and we won't get that far tonight. But Jesus said, I am. This is one of the I ams you don't hear a lot about. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I looked that husbandman up this morning as I tried to pray and study. And the word means master or owner. And Mr. Noel Webster's 18 and 28 said a lot of times a husbandman in the United States of America, they work and labor in the field even though they own it. And I agree with that. Amen. So Jesus is the vine. The Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. So we've got the vine, Jesus the true vine. We've got the Father, he's the husbandman. And the Bible said in verse number 5 that ye, we are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, I may not get into all of this, but fruit has to do a lot with your prayer life. Fruit has a lot to do with how much joy you have, full of joy, that your joy might be fully said. And verse number 16 again, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. Because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now that wouldn't be too much popper preaching how the world hates the church tonight, but they do. And they despise the righteous and the Lord of the church and the church. Amen. Verse number 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. You want to know why the world hated Jesus? He said, if I had not come, that's his mission, and spoken, that's his message, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them, that's his ministry, the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. I preach a message out of there. They hated him because of his mission. He came to seek and save that which was lost. They hated him because of his message. He preached the message of holiness and the precious word of God, just exactly in everything the Father told him. And then they hated him because of his ministry, the works that he did. That proved that he was God incarnate, his deity, and they hated him for it. Thou being a man, makest thyself God. Are you listening? I don't know where I'm going to end up tonight, but I'm feeling better. Amen. Verse number 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Would you ask God to help me tonight? Father, Lord, I love you, and I want to thank you tonight one more time for that glad day and happy hour when your hand reached further down, Lord, than I could have ever reached up. And I want to thank you for coming to me when I could not come to you. And I want to thank you for saving my never-dying soul. And I want to thank you for letting me serve you, Father, in these last and perilous days. And Father, I ask you tonight, please help me. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus that cleanses from all sin. And I know through the power of that blood you can take this earthen vessel and make it a vessel sanctified and meet for the Master's use. So, Father, I pray tonight I would be emptied of sin and self and filled one more time with the Spirit of God. And I pray you'd speak through these lips of clay the message you've dealt with my heart about tonight. And, Lord, it'd fall upon an attentive ear and a receptive heart. And men would turn from their sin and turn to God. And Lord, the church would be moved and stirred. And you'd be honored and glorified in this place tonight. Thank you for the good report of what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do in the future. But please help us tonight. And we'll praise your holy name. We love you and we ask you now to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, John 15 is quite a chapter in the Word of God, and if you study the Bible or read after commentators, you will find that good men disagree about John chapter 15. And I'm not a know-it-all, but I want to give you my interpretation and feelings as I feel like God has led me down through John chapter number 15. The chapter has to do with fruit bearing. It's not necessarily concerning salvation. I think that's where men go astray in their interpretation and their thinking, because they try to wrap salvation up in here, and it does mention them that are lost and they hated Jesus, but I'm telling you, he is speaking primarily to those of us that are saved, that we ought to have some fruit in our life. And that's going to be my thought here for a little while tonight. Fruit is mentioned 8 times in the text, and please don't take time to try to find everything that it referred to. You can do that tonight after we get home. Fruit is mentioned 8 times, and abide or abiding is mentioned 9 times in the Word of God. And I got my concordance in down, began to study, and the word abide. I like to be scriptural in the preaching. Let me lay a little foundation. I'll bring you the burden of my heart. The word abide means to remain, or to continue, or to wait, or to endure. And Jesus said, if you will abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can pray and ask what you will, and it shall be given you. He said, if you abide in me, continue in me, your joy is going to be full. And so there are a lot of attributes here to remaining or abiding. That does not mean that you're lost or undone without God.
and I'm trying to get to where I want to get if I can tonight. But you mark it down, abide is mentioned about 9 times in these verses that I read. And so the secret tonight is fruit bearing, is abiding. If you will learn to abide, I'm going to preach to the church tonight. If you're not saved, I hope that you'll come and give your heart to Jesus, and we'll give you that opportunity in just a little bit. But the Bible said in verse number 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." In my text tonight, a fruit-bearing branch, there will be fruit, there will be more fruit, and there will be much fruit. So every branch tonight is supposed to have some fruit on that branch. And in verse number 2, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, the Bible said he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So I'm going to preach for a little while tonight, if I can get down that far, on these Bible branches. In my study of John chapter 15, preacher, I found 3 different branches in this text. And if I have time to get there, which I don't know for sure that I'm going to, but I want to give you my little outline of the chapter. But there are 3 branches in the text tonight. Remember what I told you when I started. Jesus said, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman that takes care of the vineyard." And he said, "Ye men, you men that are saved, you are the branches." And if you're here tonight, saved by the grace of God, when God saved you, he made you a branch. And he wants you to be a fruit-bearing branch. And there's a lot of difficulty with a lot of folk in this taking away the branch in verse number 2 and verse number 5. He said, verse number 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Well, I may get down that far tonight. I'm not going to dodge it. I believe I know what he's talking about in the scripture. But there are 3 branches in the text tonight. Take my word for it. Verse number 1, Jesus is the true vine. There are false vines in this earth today. And God said they are going to be cut down during the tribulation, during that period. And every branch, every plant that my Father didn't plant is going to be rooted up, Jesus said. But that also tells me there's a true branch and a true vine, and God still loves His church. Are you listening? We are members of the true vine, saved by the grace of God, and we are classified as branches in the Bible. I want you to get that in your head, and I thought maybe you can understand a little more what I'm going to try to preach tonight. I want to look firstly tonight in verse number 2. What did it cost God? For alliteration's sake, I call it the price of being placed in the vine. The price of placing. We were not always of a branch. I was a dead stick the first 25 years of my life, and a crooked one at that. Amen. But Dr. Seitler used to preach, God can take a dead, crooked stick and draw a straight line with it, amen, and make it alive and make it a fruit-bearing branch. And that happened to me 46 plus years ago, and I got marvelously saved by God's amazing grace. If I had time, I could take you to Romans chapter number 11, and Brother Paul begins to talk about the grafting. And my wife's dad worked in Florida in the orange groves, and he was a grafter in simple terminology. He had 7 different kind of fruit growing on one tree in his yard. Now, I saw it. Amen. There were 7 different kinds of fruit growing on that one tree. And we don't realize it probably, but the best oranges or citrus fruit that you can buy, they are grown off of a different root than they were put on this earth to be. They'll take a sour root, like an old sour our grapefruit root and graft some good oranges in it and get all kinds of different fruit. And her daddy did that for years and years, and he had 7 kind of fruit. And honestly, there was 8 kind of fruit on that tree, and the newspaper come out, Brother Harvey, and took a picture of it. And they were amazed. There were 7 different citrus fruit, and they had eat a pumpkin and threw the seed out under the tree, and the vine grew up in the tree, and there's big pumpkins hanging on that orange tree about that big around. And they were amazed how that old man did that, amen. But he said, I didn't have nothing to do with grafting them pumpkins on that orange tree. The Lord did that out of the earth. Amen. But there is a grafting. And that's what I'm interested in, trying to lay a little foundation tonight. What did it take God, or what does it take God to make a branch out of a dead stick? And I hope you realize, if you're not saved tonight, the Bible said, you who were dead in trespasses and sin, in Ephesians chapter number 2, God takes a dead stick, a crooked stick, and He takes it and grafts it into the vine. What did it cost that preacher for God to do that? Well, it cost the Son of God His life, and He shed blood, and it cost the Lord Jesus Christ everything that He had. He left the ivory palaces of glory, came into this world by way of a virgin womb, born in a cow stall, and lived a perfect life, went to Calvary and bled and died, and was the poorest of the poor, and lived among men that way, amen. And it cost God the Father His Son. What did He do, preacher? Why did He do that? That we might become branches. My message is this, if I can lay my foundation, the price it took for God to make me a branch. I was dead, you were dead, and God grafted us into the true vine. And that true vine was the riven side of the Lord Jesus Christ when He hung on Calvary's tree. And the Bible said, I read it today, the Bible said the soldier took a spear and pierced His side, and forthwith came the blood and the water. I'm glad the blood cleansed me before the water crowd got to me. Amen. Forthwith came the blood and the water. And the Bible said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And He said that Word came forth through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He shed His life-giving blood. He said, what? Know ye not that you were not redeemed with such things as corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with a that Brother Peter said that, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, who was before ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by Him do believe in God. Amen. And I could go on, but I don't have time. The price that it took God to make a living branch out of a dead stick was for His Son to die on Calvary, that we might be saved by the grace of God. I hope that you are in the true vine. Are you listening to me? The antediluvian world, there was one way to escape the flood, and that was through the one door in the ark. And there's one way to escape the upcoming and soon coming wrath of God, and that is one door. In John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. There's only one way, and it's not through the church membership, or it's not through some kind of a false vine that men have come up with today, but it's a true and the living vine that was willing to go to Calvary and lay down His life that we might be saved by the grace of God. The Bible put it this way, when that soldier pierced his side and forthwith came the blood and the water, the Bible, the old prophet wrote, there would be a fountain opened up in the house of David. Amen. And we can apply that out in the future, but I personally want to apply it to Calvary tonight. When Jesus shed His blood that I might be cleansed, and I am going to live as long as Jesus lives tonight, because I've got His life. Are you listening to me? That is the price that it took God to make you a little branch and put you into the true vine. Romans 11 said if the root's holy, then he said the branches are going to be holy and the fruit's going to be holy. Amen. And I want you to pay close attention to me tonight. Firstly, the price of placing. Well, look at verse number 16, the purpose that he in pardoning is what God gave me. Why did he save me, preacher? Well, look at verse number 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You were saved by the grace of God and grafted into the true and the living vine for this purpose tonight, and that was not to populate heaven in the sweet by and by, but that was to be a fruit-bearing branch. Are you listening to me? And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Let me say this, and you've probably heard it, and it's not scriptural. It's tonight, the branch cannot produce fruit. It is the root and the vine that produces the fruit. It is the branch that bears it and displays it. Amen. I know a lot of folks that are trying to produce fruit, like a chicken trying to lay an egg. Amen. You cannot produce fruit. You have to allow God to produce the fruit through you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you how, if I can get that far tonight, praise God tonight, what you're going to do is bear the fruit that God wants to produce through you. Some of us have singing voices. Some of y'all have singing voices. Some folks are talented in the music, and we're different gifted people by the grace of God. But I'm telling you, the Bible said in verse number 25, this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, notice the Comforter, he is the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Ghost that Jesus sent into the world on the day of Pentecost in a different and particular and a special ministry during the church age. He's living in our heart and he wants to produce fruit through these branches that we might bear some fruit. We don't produce a fruit. The fruit comes from the root and comes through the Spirit of truth and we just bear it. Amen. And folks can see it. Here's what the Bible said in Proverbs 11:30. Or is it 30:11? He said the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Chapter number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. That interpretation of that verse to me is the fruit that's in my life is somebody can see that fruit and feed upon that fruit and it'll be a tree of life unto them. Are you listening? I've studied one day and a praying God gave me that verse. The fruit of the righteous, and we're righteous because we're clothed in His righteousness. Are you agreeing with me? And because I'm clothed in His righteousness, I am righteous tonight. And the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And folks tonight can see, they should see some fruit in my life where they would want what I got. Amen. I see a big old juicy apple, I'd slip over the fence and steal an apple. Amen. When I was a boy and we stole one time, me and two or three of my friends climbed over the fence and got in this old man's apple orchard and it had a sign on the tree and said, "You three thieves, get out of here." And there was three of us, amen. He is a prophet and didn't know it. I never forget I was stealing that old man's apples, amen. Don't you young folks do that. Don't you try it. Somebody will shoot you today. They didn't used to shoot you for stealing an apple. But are you listening to me? I saw a big apple and I wanted one. Amen. I see a big orange and I want an orange. Or I see some fruit and I want some fruit. And that's what Jesus said you are. I have ordained you that you can bear some fruit. Not produce the fruit, but bear some fruit. You younger Christians and younger preachers tonight, life. I want to be a fruit-bearing branch, but I cannot produce the fruit. I have to bear the fruit. Are you listening to me? And that is through the Spirit of truth that is in me. God has ordained us to be fruit-bearing branches. And I don't have time to preach on the fruit of the Spirit, but it ought to be preached in our Baptist church tonight. Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, and meekness, or meekness and tempers. There are 9 fruits, and they can be produced in our life by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We need a revival of the love of God shed abroad in our heart. And I just about bet you, if I was a betting man, I could get in this chapter and show you just about all 9 of the fruit that Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit producing in our lives. Verse number 12 is a good one. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he talks about joy, and he talks about peace. I believe we could just about find all of them in there if we look real close. If we can't, we can find them in the Bible. But listen to me, the price of placing me into the vine was the purpose of producing fruit in my life. What kind of branch are you? What kind of fruit is being produced through your life that you can bear that fruit and others see Jesus in you and want what we got? Are you listening to me? Bearing fruit. There are different degrees. I think there's 30, 60, and 100-fold Christians because there's 3 floors in the ark, and God's a Trinity, and Trinity's all God made us, body, soul, and spirit, flesh, blood, and bone, 3 layers of skin, and 3 sections on every finger, and 3 sections on every arm, and 3 sections on every leg, and the ark had 3 floors for Noah and his family, and then the clean animals, I think, and then the unclean animals, and I think on the bottom was bats, buzzards, bullfrogs, and billy goats, and down there on the bottom floor, on that middle was probably the lambs and sheep and turtle doves, and those clean animals that God would replenish the earth with, and he took an odd number, a 7 number. He never broke up a pair, but he took 1 of 7 so he could offer a sacrifice when they got off the ark. But the point is, neighbor, their fruit that they produce is going to be worked through you, whatever God wants you to do. Some of us are going to the mission field. Some of us are going to preach the gospel. Some of us are going to be teachers. We have different abilities and gifts, and that's the kind of church God is building in this earth. All right, listen, we all can't do the same thing. We're all not going to bear at the same time or the same place or the same thing. So remember that, would you tonight, and fall in love with each other and love the man of God and love the church and find out what kind of branch you are. I'm trying to get to my branches. Amen. The price it took to make me a branch was God's Son dying on Calvary. The purpose that He placed me there was to bear fruit, out of verse number 16. And now notice in verse number 2, he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You've got fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. There are 3 degrees of fruit bearing, and there's no fruit in the that I'll get to if I can in a little while. But there's fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. So I'm a branch now. God has grafted me into the true vine. God the potter had something in mind. He's not on the potter and the clay, but he's a husband taking care of the vineyard. Amen. And different applications on being saved by the grace of God. But God saved us, preacher, and gave us life to bear fruit. And he said, here's how you bear fruit. Church, are you listening? Learn to abide. A-B-I-D-E. Learn to abide. He said that about 9 times in this chapter. Abide in me. Abide in me. Let my word abide in you. You can't bear any fruit except you abide in me. Get a good case of the don't cares or bow up in the back and set your face like a flint and go on and serve God and finish what God gave you to do. I thought that I'd live to be an old man and preach and pastor where I was. I stayed there about 36 years. That's a pretty good tour of duty, but I figured I'd stay there till I got old. But the Lord moved me before I got old, amen, and put me out on the rough. Don't look at me now too hard. But He put me out of a part of that part of the vineyard and put me in another part of the vineyard and gave me a verse in Psalm 71:18 and said, when you're old and gray-headed, show a generation to come the strength and the power of God. That's what I'm trying to do tonight. Amen. I'd love to see the fire fall. I'd love to see old-fashioned, genuine revival again. The power of God fall on the church and some fruit be produced and we would bear that fruit and somebody get thirsty to know Jesus in the free pardon of our sins. You'll catch more sinners and you'll catch more fish if you got a little bait on the hook. Now listen, that love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and temperance and meekness, all those fruits I don't have time to deal with tonight. But the purpose God had in mind was for you to be a fruit bearing branch. In verse number 2 again, He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Fasten your seatbelt for just a few minutes tonight, and let me tell you by the help and the grace of God, how God wants to produce fruit in your life and make you a fruit-bearing branch. So we have different talents, different abilities, and all of that. Get that settled in your mind. Don't try to be like anybody else. Amen. Somebody, a young preacher, came to a church I was preaching at the other night, and he said, somebody told me, I believe he was from over around Brother James Joseph, he said, some preacher told me that I was a young Larry Raines. I said, I don't know if you're big enough, son. Better have a big God on your side or somebody will whip you. I'm not trying to be cocky. Now, I won't run over you with my Kawasaki. I said, you don't need to be like Larry Ryan. You just be what God wants you to be. Amen. Are you listening? And if some of you sat under some pastor's ministry for years, things are going to rub off and you know all of that. But here's the purpose in pardoning you was to make you a fruit-bearing branch. Now, here's the process of becoming a fruit-bearing branch. And He said in verse number 2, He purges every branch, are you listening, that it may bring forth more fruit. The process in purging, say with me, would you do it tonight? He wants to purge you so you can be a fruit-bearing branch. How's He going to do it, preacher? Look at verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. God help us tonight to get back to the Bible and let this Bible clean us up and purge us and cut away, carry off the dross, and get the sapsuckers out of our life, whatever it is that's going to rob us of our strength, and let the Word of God purge us. That Bible is so important. Jesus said, if my words abide in you, get the Word of God in you. David said, I want to hide your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He said, I want to make your Word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Brother Peter said in 2:2, desire the sincere milk of a Word that you may grow thereby. Are you listening to me? Men are begotten by the Word. And hundreds of verses tell us how important the Word of God is in our life. Make up your mind, I'm going to be a Bible student. I don't have too much confidence in Bible scholars. I believe there's some learned men and men that study daily, but I don't believe you can get to where you're scholarly on that Bible as far as some folks think they are. But are you listening? God has a process in wanting to make you a fruit-bearing branch, and that's going to always take you back to the Bible. You are clean through the Word. Are you in verse number 3? Verse number 3. I'm in the wrong page. Verse number 3. Are you listening to me? Look at this verse again. 15:3. Let me find my place. 15:3. He said, "You are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you." You've got a cleansing of that branch. That branch has to be taken care of. We had a storm, got home from church from somewhere, and two trees in our yard, Bradford pears, I guess about the sorriest trees the Japanese ever put on us, and they were two of them laying over in my yard, had broken off and split and torn all to pieces, and I took the tractor and pulled them up and ground the stumps up and tore the dirt up, and I planted me a maple tree, a little, it's probably Japanese maple too, amen, but I planted that little maple tree there in the yard, and maybe that's what they make baseball bats out of, a good hard maple or hickory or some kind of a hard wood, and I put that little maple tree there, it's about that high, and I looked at it, blossomed out in the top, it's got heavy, and it was falling over, and I said, that thing's gonna break. And so I went out there, and I put me some sticks around it, and I got me a bungee cord, and wrapped around it, not where it wouldn't cut it down, or break the bark on it, and keep that little old tree where it won't fall over. And if I care that little much about a little maple tree, don't you think God cares enough about you, where He'll put some stakes around you, and say, don't go beyond these boundaries, son. I want you inside these stakes now. You get out there and a big bear or something's going to get you. You stay inside the cage. You stay inside the stakes. I'm going to grow you, and I'm going to get you rooted and grounded in the Word. And that little tree gets rooted and grounded real good this spring. And I'll keep a little water on in case we have a drought during the summer. And I'll guarantee you fall comes, I can take those three or four stakes away from that thing. It'll stand there on its own. If it don't, amen, I'll put another stake, a bigger stake, and I'll keep a little rope on it or a string on it where it won't get broken down. And God cares that much about me. And God cares that much about you. And He said, no, you can't do that. You can't go here. You don't need to do that. You don't need to possess that. That's not going to profit you spiritually. That's not going to help you a bit. I can name a thousand things tonight, and if I get a nudge from the Holy Ghost, I will. But Jesus said, if you're going to be a fruit-bearing branch, you're going to have to be clean through the Word. Is anybody in 2013 interested in bearing some fruit? Anybody interested? If we don't get some new fruit in our churches and reach some young people, we're going to be an old folks home. Now, I'm telling you the truth. We're going to become an old folks home. We're going to have to produce some fruit. Let God produce the fruit. Let Him take you and use you, whatever capacity He sees fit. Amen. And it really doesn't matter. When God saved me and called me to preach the gospel, and I've got it pinned down. I can take you to the time, and I know the time and the place. Amen. But it didn't matter to me. I would just as soon as gone to Russia or China or the jungles of New Guinea somewhere, or Taylor, South Carolina. But God chose for me to go to Taylor, South Carolina and pastor there for 36 years. I mean, that was the perfect will of God for our life. He put us in that portion of His vineyard. Those 3 years prior to that, He's growing us. He's purging us. He's dung it around us. He's loosened up the soil where it can absorb the moisture when God sends a shower of rain upon you. And that's what God will do in your life if anybody's interested in being a fruit-bearing branch. And He said that's what I saved you for. And I don't know the will of God for your life, but I do know whatever capacity you want you to serve Him in, it will be to bear some fruit for Him that others may see Jesus in us. Now, are you listed? Find out the will of God for your life. And I don't have time to go there, but you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and you will find that 8 times in that chapter. And it said, this is the will of God, that even your sanctification. And I think, if I remember right, there are 8 that's in that chapter. And if you would study chapter number 4, those 8 that's that are in there, when you get to the end of that, you would know the will of God for your life. And Jesus said, I have saved you and ordained you that you gonna bear some fruit. Verse number 16. He's got a process He's going to put you through. We get saved, we're like a big saw log. When we come out of God's sawmill, we're like a toothpick that came out of a Cracker Barrel. He just limbs us, takes the bark off of us, preacher. I used to work in a creosote plant. We creosote telephone pole. They bring an old tree in there. We plumbed it up and straightened it up and limbed it up and done everything to it and got it looking like these juice poles, what they called them up the holler where I was from. Y'all still call them juice poles in Tennessee? That's West Virginia, juice poles. I would tell you some stories about them juice poles if I had done. They run one up a holler up there, and two old fellas, one of them climbed up and hooked two wires on it, and gonna fill one of them's tooth. Gonna melt some lead and fill one of them's tooth, and he touched that in there and blew the whole tooth out of his mouth. Cheaper than going to the dentist, I reckon. Are you listening? Fruit-bearing branches. Different shapes, different sizes. I read the 92nd Psalm a while ago, and God said, they that are planted in my house, in my sanctuary, they that are planted there are going to be like palm trees and like cedar trees. And I loved that verse 14 and 15. He said they'll, in their old age, they'll be fat and flourishing, bearing fruit in their old age. It's not for just the young. It's for us old heads too. We can still produce some fruit. No telling what God would do with you. I doubt if I get to preach on Samuel this weekend. But I preached last week in somewhere. And I preached on Samuel. And Samuel got old, and they said, you're old, Samuel. We don't want you anymore. We want a king. We want to be like the other nations. So I preached about Brother Samuel. And Brother Samuel said, I know I'm old, and from my childhood up to today, and I'm an old man. But he said, God forbid, though I'm old, in ceasing to pray for you. So old people can pray. You may not get out here and knock on every door and down the road and shake every bush and rattle every doorknob, but I tell you, you can pray. And he said, I'll teach you some things if you'll listen to me, so you can instruct the young. Let the elder women teach the younger. You know why the younger women act the way they do and behave the way they do today? Because of the older women. You get a church full of teenage grandmothers, you got more than you can handle. They'll put on them little tight skirts. Their legs look like a sack full of doorknobs. Cover them things up, Grandma. We don't want to see them. Oh, preacher, I just wouldn't dress like that. My granny used to bend over and pick up butter beans and never be immodest. Yeah.
had a Miss Moon that I pastored, had a big old sunbonnet over her head, had that thing on, that long skirt, and get out there and working in the garden. I said, hallelujah. Preacher, do I have to look like I fell off the wagon train on Little House on the Prairie? No, you don't have to look like that. But you ought to be modest. You ought to let somebody see Jesus in you, amen? So Samuel was old, but he said, I can still instruct you if you'll listen to me. You remember what Jacob said, Nathan, when Lee and Rachel got all in that mess. He said, I have learned by experience. Experience is a good teacher. And we older folks ought to be able to teach younger. I've been married to her for 52 years. And I'm not picking on you because you hadn't been married. You've been married two or three times. I'm not picking on you tonight. But we ought to be able to instruct some young couples how to keep their family together. I've had to crawl on these bony knees and say I'm sorry. Are you listening? I told my grandchildren, I've got four grandgirls and a grandson, and I said, till death do us part is a long time. And you better think about it. I got a grandson, 6'4". Has he ever been here? He's tall and handsome and studying to be a doctor of some kind. He said he'd be making six figures, and that's not all money. But I'm telling you, the girl just go crazy. Kind of looks like his grandpa. I can instruct him. Here's what I instructed him, preacher. I said, son, my grandson, I said, you're the only grandson I got. Your mom and daddy's not going to have any more children. And I ain't going to have any more children. And I said, you're the only means of carrying on my name. And I said, you better watch what you're doing, buddy. I said, that little gal that you're going to marry is going to carry my grand, great-grands and carry my name. He said, yes, sir, Papa. I don't know what he might do tomorrow. He may go haywire. But it won't be because Papa didn't tell him. I took him to Firehouse Sub, bought him a sub this week, and I told him, I said, you better be careful who you court now. Make sure it's in the will of God. I said, these girls, they're pretty girls. They're a dime a dozen. I don't know what some of you pretty girls are going to do. Boy, good boys are hard to find. God's got a will for your life, is what I'm trying to preach. He's got a process in purging you. He wants to shape and mold and fashion you into a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. I think that's 2 Timothy 2:21. If you'll present your body a living sacrifice to God and say, Lord, you produce the fruit through me and let me be the fruit-bearing branch you want me to be. It might be a good keeper at home and guide the house and raise some godly children. Who knows what he might do with you? It's exciting being saved and serving Jesus. There's nothing like it in the whole world. Nothing to compare with living for Jesus. So there's a process he's going to put you through. But you're going to have to submit to the Bible, verse number 3. You're going to have to get back in this book. And I can tell you how to dress and how to do your hair and how to act and how to love each other and forgive each other, and somebody get mad at me. Look at verse number 2 again, the latter part of it. He said, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's a promise of producing fruit in your life. If you will, let him cleanse you through the Word. Now, I don't have time to go to Ephesians 5:25-26. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He said,
the washing of the water of the Word, and we know it's not the water in the well, and it's not water in the baptismal pool. It's the water of the Word of God. But He has given you a promise. If you will allow Him to produce fruit through you, He will purge you and produce more fruit through you. You young men that are here, if you want to serve Jesus, you got some fruit in your life, move it up a notch. Increase your prayer life. Get in that book more. I couldn't sleep last night, and I'm not boasting. 4 o'clock this morning, I was on my knees praying. I didn't sleep 2 hours last night, I guess. And you don't have to stay up all night to pray. The Lord laid that message on my heart, Brother Bud. John chapter number 15. I was praying about coming up here. I said, Lord, I just might call Brother Pastor and tell him to see if Brother Rackley will stay. And the Holy Ghost whispered in my ear and said, you go to Ridge View and preach out of John chapter number 15. Now, I got a lot of messages. I got them knee deep. I got a suitcase full. But if you're going to bear fruit, and you are bearing fruit, He said, without doubt, every branch He will purge it, that it may bring forth more fruit. When we think we've arrived, He just cuts a limb off from under us, makes us climb a little higher. Are you listening? That's the kind of God we got. Who was it? Charles Spurgeon or Moody, one of the old timers, said it's yet to be seen what God could do with one man that submitted himself completely, unreservedly unto Him. Complete obedience to the Word of God. John 2:5, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. If we get back to obedience the way Jesus said for us to obey, and Samuel said to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken is better than the fat of ram. If we'd get back to being sensitive and obedient to the Lord, it's no telling what we might see. It wouldn't matter who's preaching. It wouldn't matter where you're at. And I'll be honest with you, it wouldn't make me a bit envious or jealous. I'd just like to see God's power fall again, wouldn't you? So He's got a process. And if it's obedience to what He tells you to do, if you'll let Him purge you, clean you up, and I'm not staying there, you'll have power in your prayer life. Verse number 7, if you abide in Me, that word means to remain, continue, endure. If you abide in Me, if you continue in Me, if you remain in My words, abide in you, continue in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You'll have more power in your prayer life. You'll have the fullness of joy. Here's my message tonight. Three branches. Let me give them to you in about 10 minutes and I'll be through. In this text tonight, you've got a careful branch. It goes through the process of being grafted into the vine. It's a branch. Okay? It's a careful branch. It's careful about its conversion. I know that I've been grafted into the riven side of Jesus. I know I'm saved. These things are written unto you that you may know. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Well, this lying, cheating, hating, destroying, destroy ministries, they're not saved. And I don't have time to argue with you about that. You ought to know better already. Amen? A careful branch is careful about his conversion. Then he's careful about his cleansing. Whatever he deals with you about, you just yield to him. I didn't know what I may have told you before. I didn't know. I don't guess I'd ever seen the word T-I-T-H-E. I didn't know what that was when I got saved. Some of y'all have been saved 40 years and you still don't know what it is either. Tithe is tenth. And the tithe is holy. And the tithe is the Lord's. And there's not one verse in these 1,189 chapters that says don't tithe to the local church. But it does say, bring it into the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house. And I'll open up the windows of heaven. A little bit of cleansing, tell you what to do with your money. I had a pair of gold bathing trunks. You ought to see me in my bathing trunks, boy. The Holy Ghost said, you know you're naked. Get them things off. Get you some britches on and get off of this beach. I had a youth group at the beach. I fit right in today. He told me to put my clothes on and stay off the beach. These things see no sunlight in 43 or 44 years. Ain't nobody seen me with my shirt off either. I want to be a careful branch. I could tell you a whole lot of things. If you're going to bear any fruit, be careful. Walk circumspect. Because the world's watching us, all right? You got a careful branch. If it'll bear fruit, I'll work in your life, and you can bear more fruit. Fasten your seatbelt, say with me. In verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it bringeth forth. And you got a careless branch in verse number 2. And if I lose you here, I'll be glad to sit down and talk to you when we get time. This is a careless branch. It is a branch. It is a branch. He said, every branch in me. How do you get in me, preacher? By one Spirit are we all baptized in the one body. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So he's in the vine. But he's careless. Super Bowl Sunday, he don't go to church. He stays home, watches the Super Bowl. And usually the team you're rooting for gets beat because you missed church on Sunday and should have been in church. And a lot of folks, the pastors got them on these big screens they put in the gymnasium so they can have church in the gym on Super Bowl Sunday. I'd find me a good church. They shouldn't be playing ball on Sunday anyway, amen? Yes. My daddy was a lost man. He didn't let us holler and carry on Sunday. That's the Lord's day. Baptists have forgotten that. I don't have time to deal with that. But you got a careless branch of verse number 2. It's not going to bear fruit. And the Bible said down verse number 6, if a man abide, if a man don't continue, if a man don't endure, if a man don't remain in me, he is cast forth of the branch. I've heard all kinds of interpretation about that. But he is cast forth as a branch and he is withered. So he had to be a branch to wither. It had to be a branch. But the life supply was cut off. Probably was a size 16 and tried 14 felt so good to put it in a 12. It choked the life out of it. Verse number, y'all getting quiet on me tonight. If a man or a woman abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, remain, continue. Doesn't say he never was in him, but he doesn't abide in him. He is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burning. They take that and say, men will gather them together and put them into the lake of fire. That is reserved for the angels to cast them into the fire. This is a man, a branch, losing his testimony, and everything about him burned up. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, saved so as by fire, nothing left but a soul redeemed, no fruit whatsoever. And if that ain't the interpretation of that verse, I'm a Looney Tune. And I'm not perfect, and I don't know it all. But if you don't bear fruit, God wants you to bear fruit. God deals with you about bearing fruit. He wants to produce fruit through you. And I'm telling you, you get dishonorable. in Ephesians 6, don't honor your mom and dad. Honor them, your days will be long. That tells me if you don't honor them, your days will be short. How much more our Heavenly Father. We don't honor Him, God will shorten our life and take us out of this world. And that part about the men gathering them together and burning them, there are men today, their testimony and their influence, their saltiness. If a salt's lost its savor, what good is it? It'll be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. That's what He's talking about in that verse. You laugh at their filthy jokes. You act the way they do down at the job. Do the same things that they do, and they don't see Jesus in you. They may as well gather up your testimony and throw it in the fire and burn it. It's of no influence for the cause of Christ. Are you at churches? They're doing the same thing. Young preachers are tempted to have a crowd. Now, I'd rather preach to 1,000 than I would 100. But I'm telling you this. I'm not trying to build a crowd. God's not interested in building a crowd. He's interested in building a church. You got a careful branch. You got a careless branch. Careless about church attendance. Careless about your money. I preached in a good church here a while back. I'm through. I preached in a good church here a while back. I preached on tithing and giving on the Monday night. Come back Tuesday night and I preached out of Ecclesiastes where money answereth all things. And I preached on money talks. Money will tell on you, tell you what you are and how much you love Jesus. And the preacher said in the prayer room on Wednesday night, he said, I don't know why Brother Rain's preaching on money. He said, don't nobody get on this platform if they're not tithing. I said, that's good. He said, I think everybody in this church tithes and gives to missions. I said, that's good. Probably had 30 or 40 men in the prayer room. I finished the meeting. The next night, the organist didn't go play the organ. And I'm not picking on the organ player. He said, we don't get on this platform unless we tithe. He called me that weekend I left and I got home. He said, preacher, I have had a rough weekend. He said, I've had two families quit and blow out over that money deal. He said they couldn't afford to tithe and give. You can't afford not to. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken together, pressed down, running over, shall men give unto you. You're not going to starve. God's going to take care of His children. He'd put the angels on half rations to take care of you. But this careless branch, he's got careless about his giving, careless about his church attendance, careless about his appearance, careless about his actions. Then lastly, you've got a castaway branch. Now I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 9, and I'm through tonight. And I'm asking, what kind of branch are you? 1 Corinthians 9. God said, Jesus said, I have ordained you, I found, come and chose you and ordained you that you'd bear fruit. He said, my Father's glorified if you bear much fruit. 1 Corinthians 9:27. For the sake of time, 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's the Apostle Paul that God used to pen. Paul said, I keep my body under, and I got a message I preach down through there. But your body and your soul and your spirit, it all belongs to Jesus when He saves you. It's in 2 Corinthians 7, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfect unholiness in the fear of God. Ain't nothing wrong with being holy. Ain't nothing wrong with living right and dressing right and acting right. Thank God for this church. I don't see many females flaunting themselves around here and trying to get attention, bring attention to themselves. And they tell me that's what that word modest means. If you adorn yourself and you clothe yourself in such a manner that brings attention to your body and the features of the female body, then you're not dressing properly. And likewise, the men. Men are just as bad as the women. We all have to grow in grace and knowledge. And I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. God saved you to bear fruit. Remember, if you don't get anything else, I can't produce it. Somebody probably argued with me. I can't produce it, but I can allow Jesus to produce it through me. And I can bear it for His glory and His honor. And if I'll be careful and not get careless, and when I do make a mistake, fall, come short, or get some light, somebody preaches to me, or the Holy Ghost whispers to me, or I get dealt with about it somewhere or another, my quiet time at home, I'll yield myself to the instructions of the Word of God and what the Holy Ghost tells me. He said, you will bear more fruit, much fruit. You'll just keep producing fruit, seeing it in your life, God producing it through you. And when you get to heaven, you'll be glad that you had some fruit in your life. The world needs to see Jesus back in the church again. And I'm not the pastor of this church, but I'm telling you, the average choir gets up, it's pitiful how they dress. It's about like a burlesque show. I had a preacher call me. He's never seen me. I've never seen him. I'm going to be with him next week, the Lord willing. Somebody recommended me to him. And I asked him, I said, you qualified to be a pastor and you're not going to have your life messed up, because I don't know him and I wasn't being a Pharisee. I said, I preach the Bible. Well, we need some preaching around here. Somebody said, we need some preaching. I said, well, I'll come and preach for you. I hope he knows what preaching is. A lot of folks don't know what preaching is. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want the world to hate the church. The world's going to hate the church. Jesus said, servants not any greater than his Lord. They hated me. You may say, preacher, you mean somebody hated Jesus? Yeah, they hated him. They hated him for his mission. They hated him for his message. They hated him because of his ministry, the work that he did. And they'll hate you. But you just go ahead and let God produce the fruit through you that He wants. Wherever part of the vineyard He wants you in, you go ahead and let Him put the fruit in your life. Would you do that? I do not want to be a castaway preacher. And I've said it before, and I've been saying it for years. It's not something that I come up with when I got old. And I've done lived my 70 plus. But I don't want to be a castaway, brother. I've tried to be faithful for 46 plus years. Now, if the Lord lets me preach about Paul, finishing my course with joy, I want to enjoy the rest of the trip. I want some fruit in my life. I want my grandchildren. I want that youth choir that I used to pastor. Brother Donnie and some of them, Brother Frazier, been there and seen them. I want them to know Brother Rain done it right, lived right, and finished right. Now you listen to me. I want to end up right and do what's right. Let me ask you this. What kind of a branch are you? Have you gotten careless? Preachers get careless. Churches get careless. Families get careless. Members get careless. And end up in trouble. I want to be more careful. In my old age, I don't want to be an old fool like Solomon. I want to be careful, don't you? I don't want to be a castaway. And that word does not mean to be cast into hell. I don't have time to deal with it, but that's not sending somebody to hell. They tell me in the Greek, and I know I don't know Greek, and I don't guess many of you know Greek, but it's like a pair of shoes. This, my soul come off my shoe. I was preaching up in Kentucky. I'm quitting this time. But some young preacher was preaching. He got saved when he was 7. He's about 20 years old. And he tried to demonstrate David dancing before the Lord with all of his might. I preached after he did. I said, "You ain't never been on a dance floor, boy. You don't know how to dance." I said, I've won 2 or 3 dance contests. I burnt souls off of 2 or 3 good pair of shoes." And I went to my room, and honestly, that soul fell off of that shoe. And I had to go to Walmart, get me some epoxy, and mix it up, and glue my shoe back on. Looks pretty good, don't it? No, I don't want a pair of shoes. I'm not begging. I got more shoes than I can wear. I've got more shoes. I won't wear my shoes out. My wife's going to throw them away, send them down to Brother Willis to the men's home. So I'm not begging for a pair of shoes. I do know an evangelist run up down the road with a hole in his shoes, and our church bought him new shoes. The next meeting he went to the altar praying, and still had a hole in the bottom of the shoe. I don't want to be a castaway. Here's what I was getting to, like an old pair of worn-out shoes. Throw them back in the closet. Forget about them that they're even in there. They're still yours, but they're not being used. They're not good for anything. I wouldn't ask my wife how many pair of shoes she's got in the closet. She wouldn't ask me how many I got under the bed and under the dresser and stuck in the closet and everywhere else. But a lot of Baptists, like an old shoe, everything's wore out but the tongue. That's about the shape I'm in, I guess. Are you careful? Careless? We're subject to become a castaway. Put on the shell. Throw them back in the closet. God can't use you. I'd rather go home to be with Jesus. Would you bow your head with me just a minute, please? We'll ask our song leader to come. Every branch in me, he says, I purge. Would you let him help you tonight? Preacher, I need to move up. I want to move up. I want some more fruit in my life. I do. I've been saved a long time. But I don't want him to quit dealing with me. I got a lot of areas I can move up. I want to be a careful branch. I love him, don't you? Lord, deal with him. Don't leave me alone. Cry like David said, don't withdraw thy Holy Spirit from me, and leave that in its context. But listen to me. Don't lose the touch of God off your life. You just become a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal, no power, no joy. Church, please don't let that happen to you. Sometimes we shout, sometimes we cry, sometimes we laugh, sometimes we sit, sometimes we run. But I don't want to lose that touch of God to you. I want to be a branch that bring honor and glory to the name of my Lord. And I hope that you do. Would you let him help you? If he's spoken to you in some area, Lord, would you help me? Would you strengthen me and undergird me and, like the preacher did, put some strings on me and hedge up about me and don't let the storm break me and destroy me? Help me. I need you to help me, Lord. You young families, let him help you. You young preachers, let him help you. Church, let him help you. The Lord impressed me at the motel, what kind of a branch? And I asked myself, what kind of a branch am I? I want to bear some fruit. Father, I love you. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Father, I pray tonight for Ridgeview Baptist Church. May the Holy Ghost walk these aisles and in and out of every pew and speak to our heart. No doubt most of us are saved tonight that are in this building. And Lord, some of us are not bearing the fruit that You saved us for. And we're not obedient, we're not sensitive, and we're not yielded, and we're not submitting to the purging of the Holy Ghost and the preaching of the Word of God in our life. Lord, we've gotten so careless the way so many have today. And I pray that You'd help us. Help me. Please speak to my heart. Deal with my heart about everything. It's not like Jesus. And I pray You'd help me to get the victory over the deed. And then, Lord, the desire, may our desires be of Christ and be what He would have us to be. Give the preacher, give the pastor his heart's desire in this meeting. And I love You and thank You, and I know that He will, Father. If there be one that's lost, they're not in the true vine. Lord, they're religious, but they've never really been born again. They've never had the blood applied to their sin. I pray they'd come tonight, get somebody by the hand and come and pray and give their heart to Jesus. We'll love You and thank You for it, Father. We ask it in His name. For His sake we pray. Amen. Preacher, I'm through.